The greatest story ever told. Presented by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. Today we present The Man Who Was Not Humble, a drama inspired by an event set forth in the ninth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. An event from the greatest life ever lived. As the town of Emmaus in Galilee settles down to the peace and quiet of another evening, there is one house to which not peace, but great uneasiness has come. It is the poor, modest house of the blind man, Michael. Even now, his wife, Anna, is not at a fire cooking the evening meal. Instead, she stands in the doorway, anxiously fingering her apron and staring down the narrow street where the darkness is settling. Now, once again, she turns to the boy who stands beside her and says,
"I know it, Benjamin, right. I had no right to let him go out alone. I want to go with him as on every other day, but I wouldn't let him. I mean, he was strange today. Very strange. Imagine his insisting on going out alone. Perhaps I should go looking for him again. The earth to him was covered the town from one end to the other. Oh, we couldn't have let him go, we couldn't. I tell you, only the worst could have kept him away from me. Please, Mother, if anything had happened, wouldn't someone have come and told us? Who knows? I wanted to give myself news. Mother, what is it then? Look. He's there at the end of the street. Yes? That man? Well, what is it? Don't you recognize him?
His father. I'll run and meet him and lead him to the house.
Oh, Benjamin, it's not your father.
But look.
He's a man who resembles your father. The same ragged cloak. Even the same size and the piece.
I tell you, it is, Father.
So that man feels his way to the town.
Does he tap along as your father does?
No. Never was. But what?
Look, it is, Father. It is.
You can't see. That man is not blind.
It is your father. And you can actually see. Michael! Michael! Oh, Michael.
Michael, what is it that happened?
Let me see your eyes.
Yes.
Yes, there is light in them. They see. They see.
Yes, Anna, they see. But say no more. Not now.
What do you mean, say no more?
It's greatest of all things has happened to you, to us, and you would ask me to be seen? No, I would cry it out to all the town, to all of Galilee.
No, Anna, no word. Nothing. Come, and pull back to the house.
Yes, Michael. But we will take so soon. Come, we shall return to the house. Father, the slip was meant to tap your way along it. Where is it?
I threw it away. Far outside the town. I shall never have to use it again.
Michael, please, I must ask. What happened? Where? How?
Much as I would like to tell you, I can't. I can't.
Oh, Michael. Where is the house now?
This is the song. This is how it works. This is the wall where the water bug hangs. For many times I've searched along this wall till I found him. There's a table on which I've hurt my leg when I thought to move too quickly in my darkness.
Oh, that thing. Michael, you were safe behind our mother and no one else can hear. Tell us now.
I can tell you nothing.
Why? You haven't been to see the witches in the hills. Roger, the witch security. You know the penalty for consorting with witches.
It was no good.
Then it's bribe you refuse to pay. What harm can befall you?
I will tell you only that it happened and that I am forbidden to talk. Also, there's one thing more. I have made a promise.
You made a promise?
Yes. In the days of my darkness, Simeon used to stand beside me at the town gate and beg. Till that day when the Roman chariot rode him down and killed him. Well, Anna, this I promise. Of all that I earn, one third shall go to support Simeon's wife and children. What I have to do in repayment for this great thing which has happened to me. I have made such a promise to God.
If I may. But in what way did this happen? That will tell us.
I'm sorry, Anna. I can't.
But why?
I can't. That's all.
Michael, is it you standing there in the doorway to see me?
Yes, my dear.
Why would you stand there in the doorway in the middle of the night?
You forgot. I've never known what men meant when they spoke of the blue night sky, or the twinkling stars, or the light of the moon.
Oh, my dear. You have never known.
Hmm. Are there only so many stars?
Sometimes they seem to be even more.
And the moon, is it always so bright?
Yes, there's a pale moon tonight. Sometimes, depending on the season, it's brighter and redder, larger and thicker.
All these things I see as each day goes and each night comes. There will be so much to see.
Michael, can't you tell me? What would this house?
I'm thirsting to tell you, but I can't.
Your blindness will allow me to serve. But now that you can see, now that this great thing has happened to me, you shut me up. I don't understand.
Please, Anna. Okay, please. All right, I will tell you.
There can be no harm.
Well, it happened this way. There were the two of us.
Two?
Gabriel, what was it? We were far outside the town, sitting alone in a car the minister. And the railroad beside him. Or rather, he found us. And we cried out to him. Yes, I cried out to him. So,
my son of David, have mercy on us.
Have mercy, Master, for we are blind and cannot see. Heal us that we may see. And to be able to do more for the glory of God.
Believe you that I am able to do this.
Yea, Lord,
according to your faith, do it unto you.
Master, Lord, I took my life. And behold, I can see you. I can see you. Oh, Master, I feel some reproach to the whole world. Everyone will always go through what I've done for him.
See that no man knows this.
Because he said so, he couldn't tell me.
Yes, Anna, that's fine. But, as I told it to you, there seems to be no harm in it, did
there? No. Unless, of course, the minister would have wished to be troubled by others who would seek after him to be healed.
Oh, no, Anna. If you'd heard him as I did, you wouldn't say that. His voice was full of kindness. The mere sound of it comforted him. Is the touch of God. And when my eyes were opened and able to see, I looked upon his face, and the kindness which the world was greater than anything I had ever imagined. Oh, Lord, he would not withhold his throne for anyone with two faces and can't know. And he couldn't have been there.
Well, why would he have asked if he told me then?
I don't know. And now that I've told you, seems there can be no harm in telling. And that would be better than I had told her. And tomorrow, first thing, I must go to see Simeon's widow. I must begin to carry out the promise of charity that I made to show my thankfulness to God.
My imagination,
But I had to go through it. I had to know every detail. So when I return to Judea, I can tell everyone in Bethlehem. So I would hear your story.
Well, where shall I begin? Shall I tell you the hardship of being blind, of living in darkness? Shall I try to acquaint you with the stumbling, halting life it is? No, to no one but I could ever understand that. So I will tell you merely that I was a blind man, and I believed with all my heart that the Master could help me. And I decided...
But there were two of you, weren't there?
Yes, very good, evidently, but I did all the talking.
I see. To be perfectly frank, I had the idea in the first place.
Indeed.
Yes.
And when we were in his presence, I called after him.
I was the one who said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And then what happened?
I went toward him.
Not being able to see him, you were still able to date him. Yes.
I must admit that I do have a sort of seventh sense about such things. I can feel the presence of people, even in my blindness. I was able to go to him.
Oh, remarkable. And then I said, "Tell me, what did the Master say?"
Oh, the Master. Well, he said something about whether we really believed in him, believed that he had the power to heal us. And
then I said to him, "Yea, Lord."
Do you understand what that meant? I mean, the very choice of words.
It was not something I dismissed lately.
Those words I selected with the greatest of care. I said not merely, "Yes,
I think so," but, "Yea, Lord."
Well-considered words,
yes,
indeed they were. I'm not a man given to random or idle statements, not I. Of course, the reply the Master made proved how well chosen my words were.
What did he say?
He touched my eyes and he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you."
And you could see immediately thereafter
the veil of darkness lifted from my eyes.
First, there was the light, and then
things began to appear within the range of my vision.
I saw the Master and his face. I saw my friend Gabriel, who had been my companion in darkness. And the miracle was accomplished.
Yes, this Master must be the one you said, the Lord himself. Surely he is the Christ.
To do such a wondrous thing.
Of course, there is no doubt that he is. But it's well to bear in mind the Master's own words. According to your faith, be it unto you. That means it was my faith that worked the greater part of the miracle.
You really believe that?
Oh, he himself said it, didn't he?
Yes, I accept your word that he said it. Well, here is a silver coin to your trouble in telling me this great story. Now I must go.
You do that, Master. Wouldn't you care to hear more?
No, I'd rather go. Here's a coin. Thank you for telling me.
Yes, there's a very strange man. One moment he was so interested, and the next moment he was in such haste to leave here. And what's the matter with him?
Is it him? Or you?
And yes, you're approaching me. Absolutely.
Master, now that I've heard you tell the story again, I've come to realize what's happened to you.
What do you mean by that?
That first night when you told it to me, you were a different man. You were humble in the face of the goodness of God. You spoke of the Master's kindness, of his voice, his face, his eyes. You were a man possessed of a holy soul. Now it seems you can only yourself.
I know.
Yes, you would make yourself great. I'm sorry you ever told me or anyone about this great thing.
I know, your eyes are wet. You say about the car.
Oh, my car.
Oh, he's still on. Let me look into your face.
You won't like what you see there.
Look at me, Anna.
Yes,
you are disappointed in me, Anna. You're fond with me, aren't you?
I blame myself, too. I shouldn't have let you tell me if the Master said you shouldn't. His wisdom is great. Even as great as his kindness.
Anna, I don't like to have you talk that way.
Each word is a reflection on me, on my faith in him.
And why not?
Anna, why do you keep saying things like that?
Because I've just come to realize what has happened to me. You would make this your life's work, telling and retelling this story to gain attention and favor with others. And now you even do it for me.
The silver coin that lies on the floor, I didn't ask for it. The man did it voluntarily. Did I do it right that he should pay me for my trouble? I didn't have to tell him the story.
No, you didn't have to. Nor did you have to throw such strong things against your past. Once you had humility and reverence, now you seem to think that you are the important one and the master of this mission.
I see.
Well, that's what happened. Yes, that's it. That's why the master forbade you to talk. He knew the weakness of people who accept the blessings of God and then convey themselves to accomplish those blessings.
Always the master. You didn't even see him. You didn't even hear him. Will you keep on speaking as though you knew more of him than I do?
I think one does not have to meet the master face to face to know of his goodness or of his weakness. Michael, what has happened to your faith?
I still have my faith in him.
Is that to tell that merchant that you played the greater part in the miracle?
But didn't the master say a pledge to your faith, be it unto you? Didn't he say that?
Oh, master.
No. No. Thank God. But, well, perhaps I could allow my enthusiasm to run away with me. But I did become a little vain, a little proud instead of being humble. But a man who's been a beggar can go hungry. And correct and important, he can be bothered when the task is unsuccessful.
Oh, you see, you said, for they will make yourself more important than the master.
From now on, when I tell the story, I shall give the master due credit. And in addition, the thing I've been promising I would do, I will do it. This silver coin, I shall give to Simeon's widow at once.
That would be at least the beginning.
You will see me do it. You will see me the thankfulness of the widow when I give this to her and tell her that this is only the beginning.
Is it to receive her thanks? But you do it?
Of course not. Come on, now. See for yourself.
Two children live along this street.
I mean,
you can wrap this up. Are you wondering what she'll say?
No. I was thinking how much food a widow could buy for her children with a whole silver coin.
Yes, there'll be a celebration in that house tonight. Why, I'll wait till they've not eaten well since Simeon died in that tragic way.
How is the widow to feed her family well? It's a necessary bread to eat.
Well, from now on, things will be different for them. I promise it, Anna.
Yes. I wonder, shall I knock upon the door and leave the coin on the doorstep, or shall I wait and declare myself? What do you think, Anna?
The world is not so important, but the time that is done is important.
I know. People will see the surprise and delight on their faces, and they will never even know. Look, I'll place the coin here, then I'll knock and you can hide just to the side of the door. Oh, Anna. You have to move quickly and bring them out. I wonder what she'll say, what she'll think.
Now you're going to have time for the bell, Michael.
Stop giving her my knock. I'll lock it in. I don't know what it says. Yes, of course, there's no one home.
That would be strange.
This time I won't knock. I'll open the door myself. Come.
It will do you no good to enter there, my friend.
I didn't see you, old man.
No, but I saw you. I watched you from my doorway. I saw you knock, not once, but several times. I should have come out of my house sooner, but I'm an old man, and I knew very slowly. You must have been missed.
I understand. But you said it would do no good to enter that house. No.
Well, the first reason you knew, no one lives in it.
Oh, but the mistaken, this is Simeon's house. Isn't it strange? You said it at a time when I couldn't see. Isn't this his house?
Yes, Michael. You always did him, and it was his house.
Oh, you mean with Simeon being dead, it's not his house any longer. I know that. But it would have been the same. She lived a little.
No, and Lucy.
What did you say?
She begged her, and today we could for her, but it was not enough.
For her?
The widow. She struggled along as well as she could, not to keep her in hopelessness. When there was not even enough blood to keep the children alive, she did the only thing she could.
She gave up her children.
Sometimes better not than feeling sad before her eyes. 3 days ago, she sold them into silver.
Oh, well.
Then, since she needed to find a soul and a happy, she left her.
You know where she went.
Well, we heard she went next, about earlier. She came in said she hoped to find work or as a servant in some great household. But this crime, she could buy much food. A week ago, that crime could have meant life itself to the poor woman. Now it's too late. The woman is gone, the children slave. So, take back your crime and thank you for your kindness.
Crime?
Selfishness is not the truth.
A week ago, I passed my time telling everyone of the great thing that had happened to me. I boasted, I was proud. Not something that I had done, but it's something God had done for me. Oh, Sam, that is true for life. It does the most for the best. But before you were about the battle for me, even before you attempted to describe your miracle, I say that only became obscured by my devil, my desire to gain justice, importance for myself. Yes, Sam, of all the things of which men boast,
how many would be possible without the blessings of God?
None. But had I been mindful of that a week ago, that poor woman and her children would still have been together as one son.
Well, Anna, we'll work together.
Michael?
I will set out now for Tiberias. I will find that woman no matter how long it takes.
And I'll find those children.
Though I must work the rest of my life, I will buy their freedom.
The harm my vanity has done, and how good I could have done had I only been humble as the Master asked me.
Well, believe me, I shall make up for this with the help of God.
The program was brought to you by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. Next week on this same network at this time, we will present The Tree and the Fruit, a drama inspired by the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Another episode in the greatest story ever told from the greatest life ever lived.
This is the ABC Radio Network.